Pray. Once a babe in Bethlehem, now the Lord of history. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. And we pray that as we engage with him through his word this morning, you might encourage us, strengthen us, and equip us. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, I'm sure that most of us can't fail to have noticed that over the last few years, there have been a number of television programs which have given people the opportunity to show off their ability and to entertain and perhaps have an opportunity to make it in the big time as well. So there has been X Factor and Pop Idol and The Voice, but apparently the biggest television show of this type is this one. Right, well, I'm sure you all know what that one was. Tell me what it was. You're looking... You do know. Come on, tell me. No, it wasn't X Factor. Britain's Got Talent. Yeah, Britain's Got Talent. I thought you'd all know that immediately. Well, Britain's Got Talent. Interestingly, the third series of Britain's Got Talent brought in 17.3 million viewers. And by modern standards, that apparently is an enormous audience share. It's about 65% of all the people who are watching television that night. And I understand that the 10th series of Britain's Got Talent is due to start in the spring. Well, they tell us that anyone of any age with some sort of talent can audition for Britain's Got Talent. And if you know the programme, contestants perform in front of the judges. And each year, the early auditions are in front of a live audience. And acts compete against each other in order to get popularity with the audience and then eventually to become the ultimate winner. Now, I wonder who knows who these different Britain's Got Talent participants are. Who's that? Yeah? It is Simon Cowell, yes, indeed. One of the original judges. And he's a bit of a pantomime villain, isn't he? Everybody loves to hate him because he's so nasty to people. Okay, what about this one? Who knows what that is? Who they are? Don't be shy. Anybody know anything about them? Remember? They won last year, apparently. Anyone know what the dog's called? Apparently it's Jules O'Dwyer and Matisse, and they won last year. You'll know this one. Somebody must know this one. I can hear the name being chanted around the place. Yeah, Susan Boyle, indeed, yeah. And she, of course, shocked the world when everyone thought that she was going to be hopeless, and she had this absolutely amazing voice back in 2009, and she sang. Do you remember what she sang? I Dreamed a Dream from Les Miserables. Now, what about this person? Who is it? You see, you do watch it, don't you? You're having me on at the start. Amanda Holden, one of the original judges as well. Yeah, okay. Anyone know who that is? You need a bit of a memory for this one. Yes, Paul Potts. The former Carphone warehouse manager who was the first winner of Britain's Got Talent. And he sang, the thing that he was kind of famous for in singing was Nessun Dorma, which we had at the concert last night, if you were here. Who knows who that is? David Hasselhoff. It is David Hasselhoff, who was a judge for one or two series, was he? Something like that. Who's that? Anybody know who that is? They all look the same, don't they? I know it's it's English boy band Calabra, who won the 8th series in 2014. Who's that? Alicia Dixon, yeah, who has also been a judge. She joined later in the show's history. And this one. Anybody know that is? I might give the game away here that I'm not really that into this program by the way I pronounce this guy's name. Is it Jay or Jai or... Anyway, Jay McDowell, the Scottish singer-songwriter, who won in 2011. Well, all these people have been regarded as highly talented in some way. Now, the word talent, of course, means normally something like a special ability, an aptitude, a gift, being good at something. But I wonder if anyone knows where the word talent originally comes from. We use it a lot in this country. We talk at school about children who are gifted and talented. And we have talent shows and everything else. Does anybody know where the word comes from? We've had a clue this morning. It actually is common in English because of Jesus' story that we read in Matthew's Gospel. The parable of the talents. And because that word's in the Bible, it's become part of the English language. Now in the story, people are given a number of different talents. And at the time, you see, a talent was a large amount of money. It was the sort of amount of money that if you were a labourer, you might get given for a year's work. So, I don't know, in 2015, something like £20,000, something like that. Now, when he told his parable, Jesus was in Jerusalem, and it wasn't long before the events of that first Easter. And he'd been teaching about the truth that in the future, at a time known only to God the Father, he's going to return to earth. He came the first time for his first advent, his first arrival, but he's also going to come a second time for his second advent, the second arrival. Now at that time, Jesus teaches around in these words around the story that he's going to come as king and he will gather all his people from all around the world, from all times of history, and they will experience together the full loving rule of God. But there's a waiting time, and Jesus tells some stories, including the one that we read, to help us to understand how to live while we wait. Now Jesus begins his story with a meaning in verse 14. If you want to follow it, it's on page 1001 of the Church Bibles, 1001. And he starts off, verse 14, Matthew 25, "For it will be like..." Now he's just finished another story which began, "The kingdom of heaven will be like." So Jesus is clearly continuing his teaching on the same theme by saying, the situation with the kingdom of heaven will be like the situation with a man going on a journey. And he tells the story. Now I wonder if I can have a few people come and help me to help us to act this out, because it'd be good to... we've got some volunteers here, that's great. You're going to come? No? Do I need two more? Who's going to help me? You're going to come and help me? Well done, bless you. You come and help me, that's super. I want one more. You're going to come and help me? No? Come on. You going to come? Oh, here we are. Well done. We've got four. That's brilliant. Now then, we need somebody to be the boss. Well, you're the tallest, so you can be the boss, right? Okay. And then we've got three workers, okay, in the story. There are three workers. And when I say different things, I want you to sort of like act them out, okay? So we'll have to use your imagination here a little bit. Now, a rich man, okay, decided to go away for a while on a journey. And the man called together three of his staff. And they had a special meeting. And what he did was, he said to them that he wanted them to look after his property and his business whilst he went away. And what he did was, the rich man, he gave large amounts of money to each of his workers. Different amounts according to their skills and their abilities. So to the first one, right, you got ready to do this, he gave £100,000. You have to pretend you're giving him lots of money. £100,000! To the second one here, he gave £40,000. Come on then, boss, here's the second one. So we just swap round for a minute. Here we are, you're the second one. You stand there. You go and stand next to Noah. That's lovely. And then so the second one's got £40,000. And the third one was given £20,000. Well done. Now then the rich man went away. So you go and stand over there. Just go and stand over there. That's fine. He went away. And the worker who had been given £100,000 got to work straight away. And he did some deals and he doubled his money and he ended up with £200,000. Well done. So much money. Now the one with £40,000 did the same thing. And he increased his money, so now he had £80,000. And that's a huge amount of money as well. But the one who had £20,000 decided that he was going to do something different. He found somewhere very secret and dug a hole in the ground. We pretend to dig a hole, that's good. And he put his money in the hole and he filled it all up and he left it there. Now, after a long, long time, the boss came back. And he got all his team together and he wanted to find out what they'd done with the money. Well, the one with the most money, who started with £100,000, saw the boss and he said, "You gave me £100,000, here you are. I've made as much again." And the boss said, "Excellent, well done. You have been a trustworthy and reliable worker. You have done well with what I gave you. I will now promote you and you can have a bigger and better role. And you'll really enjoy being with me and my business for many, many years into the future." Well, the same thing happened with the man who had been given £40,000. He told of how he had doubled the money. And again, the boss was very pleased, gave him a promotion and told him that he too would enjoy being with the boss in his organisation into the future. But the one who had been given £20,000 came to see the boss. Go and see him. And he said to the boss, "Boss, you have a reputation for being very tough and expecting a lot from your staff. So I was scared that I might mess up with your money. So I hid it and kept it safe. Here, you can have it all back now." Well, the boss was very angry. "That's dreadful. You have been a bad and lazy worker. You thought that I was a hard boss, did you? Well, you should have at least put my money in the bank and then I would have got some interest from it." And he took the £20,000 and he gave it to the one who now had £200,000. So you've got his money, give it to him. And he said, "To everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he sacked him on the spot. And he told him he could never work for him again. Well, let's give our helpers a round of applause. You did brilliantly. Thank you very much. You can sit down now. Thank you. Now, when we hear that story, we're clearly meant to see that the business owner, the boss, is a bit like Jesus. Because Jesus came to earth to bring in God's loving rule through his death and resurrection. But after his resurrection, he returned to heaven to rule at God the Father's right hand. He's gone away for a long time. Now, Jesus gives those who say that they believe in him abilities, like the boss gave his workers that money. And what they have to do is use those abilities, those gifts, in a positive way whilst Jesus is away from the earth. And Jesus expects his people to use those gifts that he's given. And when he comes back, he will work out and assess how everybody has done. Now, you know, one of the things about the story is that not all of those workers were given the same amount of money. They were given different amounts of talents. And that's true with us, isn't it? Some have more, some have less. Some have amazing gifts, others more ordinary ones. And some something in between. Now, we don't know why that is. We don't know why Jesus gives more gifts to some than others, but that's the way that it is. But what we should do is we should be glad that other people have gifts to serve Jesus, and we shouldn't feel bad that we haven't got the same gifts that they have. Our job is not to worry about what we can't do because we don't have the same talents as somebody else, but rather, according to the story, it is to use what we have been given and use it well. Now, you remember too that Jesus' story includes the idea of rewards and punishments. And what we learn is that in the end, at Jesus' return, at his second advent, the reality of our believing in Jesus will be seen in how we have used our talents in our life. Now, you know, the Bible makes it very clear that to all of us, are sinful. All of us have turned away from God, and we cannot balance out the ways that we failed by adding in good things as if it was like a pair of weighing scales. No, the Bible says actually we're too far gone for that. We can't put ourselves right with God by what we do. But when we receive God's undeserved gift of rescue through Jesus, the one who was born to save his people from their sins, when we, by faith, receive the benefits of Jesus' death on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, we are accepted by God and are set free to use the gifts and the talents that we've been given. Now, when Jesus returns at his second advent, the evidence of us being forgiven and rescued by God's grace will be recognized. So we can only be saved, put right with God, by God's grace in Jesus. But the reality of that grace in our lives will be seen in the judgment. Now, you remember that in the story, the two who had served faithfully and put their gifts to work show that they really were true servants. And they received more gifts, and also the joy of being in partnership with their boss. But the third one, the lazy, unproductive servant, by not putting his talents to work, showed that he was not really the boss's servant, and he was sacked. Well, we're reminded that when Jesus returns, there will be a judgment. And those who have not truly believed in Jesus, who haven't really turned back to him from the ways of the world, and received his gift of forgiveness won through the cross, will justly be excluded from Jesus' presence. Jesus says they'll be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But those who have shown by using their gifts and serving Jesus in this life that they do belong to him will be recognized as truly Jesus' accepted forgiven people. So even though they're far from perfect and often let him down, they have been spared the judgment they deserve because Jesus has taken it instead of them through his death on the cross. They've been rescued from their sin and have been given forgiveness. And they will at the judgment be told by Jesus, verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." So there will be a reward of further opportunities to serve Jesus and the promise of being with him forever in the full kingdom of heaven that he is bringing. Well, we began with that word talent and the way that it's used today, like for example in Britain's Got Talent. Well, Jesus' story reminds us that his people all have talents, different sorts of talents. We all have abilities that we can see as gifts, and Jesus wants us to use them as we wait for his second advent. So as we end, let's just ask ourselves a few questions. What are our talents? at this stage in our life, how can we use them to serve Jesus and others? What can we do to play our part in church, in our community, at school, at home, in our workplace? And can we help each other to discover the talents that we have? Maybe we can see something in somebody else that maybe they can't see. So we can encourage one another and remind each other that we're good at certain things and we can put those talents to use. Well, Jesus makes clear that using our talents now will be the evidence in the end that we have received his gift of forgiveness, the gift that opens the door to eternal life when he returns. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and grace towards us in Jesus. We thank you for what he has done for us in his death on the cross for our sins. And we thank you that he then gives to us gifts and talents to use to serve. Please help us to put them to good use. And we pray that you would help us as a church community to work together, that our talents can blend together, that the name of Jesus will be lifted high and others would hear of him. And we ask for his sake. Amen.